Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service. I'm sure Afghanistan is on all our minds at the moment, so we will just have a moment of quiet to collect our thoughts, and then I will say a short prayer. So let us be quiet. Gracious and loving God, we come to you with the situation in Afghanistan heavy on our hearts. It is a situation so complicated that it is difficult for us to know what to say or how to think. We hold in our hearts all those for whom this is a time of special grieving and confusion, and for those who minister to them. We hold all these people in your love. We pray for courage and wisdom, hope, and a future for all involved. In your name we pray. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you."
Let us pray. God of love and life, we thank you that you have blessed us with the awakening of a new day. We thank you that on this day we live in the light. As we feel your power within us, grant that first we may listen to and understand what it means to live in your light. For those who live in darkness and despair, May we bring your light and word to illuminate their lives as we work through your gifts and through our actions. God, it can be hard to really listen and to respond appropriately. At this time when people live in fear, without hope and home, we ask that we will cast aside all negative thoughts and set alight the flame of generosity and love. Bless and forgive our shortcomings as we live this day for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And together let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Now, Sally, will you talk to us?
Okay, good morning, everybody. I have a visual aid this morning. It's a balloon, a purple balloon, and it's got a label on it. And the label says, oh dear, chocolate is bad for you. I also have, just to show you what I think about that message, I don't know if you can see that, a pin. Shall I? Shall I or shan't I? Most people are putting their thumbs up. Chocolate is bad for you. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Ah! Oh my word. Hang on 1 minute. There's a message inside my balloon. What on earth does this say? Chocolate is bad for you. I love chocolate. Do you know what? Sometimes how we are on the outside doesn't always match what's going on the inside. Think about that as we have our readings. Amen.
Thank you, Sally. We're now going to have our readings. The first reading is from Mark chapter 7 and will be read by Sue Shaw. And the second reading from James chapter 1 will be read by Janine Goddard.
The teaching of the ancestors. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating their food with hands that were ritually unclean. That is, they had not washed them in the way the Pharisees said people should. For the Pharisees, as well as the rest of the Jews, follow the teaching they received from their ancestors. They do not eat unless they wash their hands in the proper way. Nor do they eat anything that comes from the market unless they wash it first. And they follow many other rules which they have received such as the proper way to wash cups, pots, copper bowls, and beds. So, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why is it that your disciples do not follow the teaching handed down by our ancestors, but instead eat with ritually unclean hands?" Jesus answered them, "How right Isaiah was when he prophesied about you. You are hypocrites, just as he wrote, 'These people, says God, honor me with their words, but their heart is really far away from me. It is no use for them to worship me because they teach human rules as though they were my laws. You put aside God's command and obey human teachings.'" Then Jesus called the crowd to him once more and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing that goes into you from the outside which can make you ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of you that makes you unclean. For from the inside, from your heart, come the evil ideas which lead you to do immoral things, to rob, kill, commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things. Deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from inside you and make you unclean."
James 1, verses 17 to 27. "Every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning. By his own will, he brought us into being through the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all his creatures. Remember this, my dear friends. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. If you listen to the word, but do not put it into practice, you are like people who look in a mirror and see themselves as they are. They take a good look at themselves and then go away and at once forget what they look like. But if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free and keep on paying attention to it and do it and then forget it, but put it into practice, you will by God in what you do." Amen. Oh.
My name is
Kenneth. Don't worry, Janine.
I'm an Anglican priest and an elder of the URC for about 15 years. And I'm preaching this morning on Mark 7 and James 1. Jesus had been travelling between villages, cities and farms in Galilee. Wherever he went, people laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This triggered the immediate arrival of Pharisees and legal experts from Jerusalem. They had no interest in the healings, but were greatly concerned because Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before eating. "Why," they asked, "do your disciples eat their food with unwashed hands?" Mark's detailed descriptions of the washing requirements observed by the Jews clearly indicates that he was writing for a Gentile audience who would be mystified by the complication of the requirements. The hand washing rules were very complicated. They might have taken 20 minutes rather than the 20 seconds recommended for a COVID wash. The Pharisees were concerned because Jesus' teaching threatened their own view of what it meant to be a good Jew. They claimed that what God required was ritual purity. Jesus' kingdom about the kingdom of God, which involved healing, eating with outsiders, and openness to all people, destroyed the basis of their teaching. More than that, Jewish rules about washing hands and not eating certain foods were marks of Jewish identity, a powerful symbol of national culture. Often when people get angry or ask questions about why someone is doing something different, it is because there is a larger agenda at stake. So the larger agenda for Jesus and the Pharisees was about who spoke for God, who was ever offering a way of life which was true to the God who spoke through scripture. Jesus quoted the words of Isaiah, "With their lips this people honour me, but with their hearts they turn away from me. All in vain they think to worship me. All they teach is human commands." The Pharisees argue for ritual purity. Ritual pure regulations in any society or culture regularly reflect the anxiety that that society or culture has about its own boundaries. In our culture, concern about national identity has been used to create a hostile environment for newcomers and people in great need who might wish to come here. Economic anxiety has paralysed any significant movement to reduce the gap between rich and poor people. Society faces questions on racial equality and gender issues, which call for major changes in personal attitudes and priorities, changes which could have major financial consequences for all of us. The charge Jesus levels against the Pharisees and legal experts is that by teaching as fundamental law what is in fact only human custom, they are guilty of hypocrisy, play-acting. They are claiming to be teachers of God's truth and law, but in fact, they are only teaching human traditions. But the kingdom of God presented to us by Jesus means throwing open the doors to all people. This means allowing the teaching of values of Jesus to question and overthrow what we do now. In our society, that might mean asking whether protective nationalism will rarely produce the country we want. Whether we really want financial priorities which protect the rich and cheat the poor. Whether we are content for the UK to be the most unequal country in Europe, bar one. And whether our repeated failures to respond to questions of disability, racial and gender injustice is going to be continuing and tolerable for us. In our claims to care about justice and fairness, we say one thing and we do another. Like the Pharisees, in our national life, we are hypocrites. After the dispute with the Pharisees, Mark tells us what Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples. He explained that nothing which goes into someone from outside can make them unclean. But then Jesus went on to talk about what really does make people unclean. He might expect them to say that while physical things don't matter, what we should do is listen to what our heart tells us. But he is not saying that. He is not saying we will find our real identity and discover happiness by internal reflection. Nor is he saying that if we get in touch with our deepest feelings, we will find our true identity and discover fulfillment. Rather, he is explaining that good and bad external and physical actions come from internal and spiritual sources. He says to us, it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. The problem is that the wells of human motivation are poisoned and need to be redeemed. The terrible list of evil things which Jesus listed all come from the human heart. All of them come from within us, and they defile us. We cannot find within ourselves the source of our own salvation. Our salvation is not self-generated. It is a free gift. It comes from the indwelling spirit and love of God. The second passage for today, which comes from the letter of James, likens hearing the word of God to looking at ourselves in a mirror and seeing what we are really like. We have learned from Jesus that that mirror is not the mirror of introspection, but is a source outside and above us. In the words of James, it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is the one who gives us new birth by the word of truth, so that we can become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the promise which enables us to offer worship which is pure and undefiled. It will lead us to true religion, revealed by our care for all our neighbours in their distress and keeping ourselves unstained by the world.
Let us pray. God of light and life, forgive us when our daily agendas erode the intention of our hearts. Forgive us when our personal procrastinations prevent us spending time listening to your word and taking action when we put off being more active in your name. Forgive us when we resist change, knowing that our acting and thinking are limited by prejudices and ignorance. Never is it the time to half listen to those who cry out to be heard. Gracious and most merciful God, equip us with patience and compassion as we seek to do your will. Grant that we may proclaim your gospel in sensitive and loving ways, supporting friend and stranger. As we become doers of your word and not merely listeners, we discover that in pardoning we are pardoned. In giving we will receive, understanding that your word implanted in us has the power to save us. We ask that you help us to be welcoming as our country prepares to support families of different cultures, backgrounds, and experiences to settle and integrate into our communities. Our prayers extend to all who have weathered stormy seas, risking lives to reach a safe haven, and for the lifeboat volunteers who have worked to rescue in dangerous conditions. We pray for people throughout the world and in our community whose lives have been turned upside down and changed by the coronavirus, other illnesses, and major events. Help us not to shy away from those whose loved ones have died, and let us name them in our hearts. We bless you for the lives of Rosemary Moore, who recently has died, and Gordon Moore, who has reached his 100th birthday this week. On this day, O God, surround us with your light and bless us as we do your will. Amen.
Martin, will you give us the notices, please?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Jean. So notices for this week, they're in the letter distributed by Catherine Druig, but just as a reminder of some of the key ones. Worship continues today in the building at 11:30 and then again at 5 o'clock. Don't forget that from next Sunday, so that's the 5th of September, our 10 o'clock service will also be in the building. It will be live streamed, so if you don't feel able or can't get to the church, you'd still be able to watch it. And just as we move into that situation, it is a good opportunity to make contact with people we haven't seen for a while. You know, you've got something to tell them, we're changing the way things work, so it's a good opportunity to reach out and just say, how are they, and remind them of what the services are. At the Monday community meal, every Monday, and offers of cash or food or even meal donations are always welcome. Please contact Ron Robinson. Monday to Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning, the daily prayers, don't forget those. These are held on Zoom, so it's easy to connect and join them. Just half an hour sharing some prayers and a Bible passage and brief discussions. The links for how to get to each day are on the notice sheet or on the website. 10 o'clock on Monday, mini Mondays in the hall. Contact Sally if that's of interest. And on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, Tots Prays, which is now back in the building. Again, contact Sally about that. This Thursday at 8 o'clock, the Thursday club starts up again. Contact Janine if you're interested in joining that. Looking a little bit further ahead, so tomorrow there's a bank holiday walk led by Georgina Forbes. Again, full details are in the notice sheet, but the meeting will be at 10:30 at Wimbledon Station, and then they're making their way via a pub in New Malden to the New Malden Baptist Church. If you want to join just for the meal, you can. That's at the Royal Oak in New Malden, but please get in touch with Georgina so she can check there's enough space. On the 8th of September, Nigel Tunley's ashes are being spread in the South West Middlesex Crematorium. That's the same place as his mother's ashes were spread. And there's no restrictions on number for that. It's at 10 o'clock. And some friends of Nigel's are inviting people to their house afterwards for lunch. So if you want to join the lunch bit, please can you let John Fisher know so that he can pass on numbers. The celebration of life service for Rosemary Moore takes place on Thursday, the 16th of September at 2 o'clock in the building. It will be followed by a tea in the hall. Again, please let the family know if you plan to attend so they can cater. On Friday, the 24th of September, we'll be joining the Macmillan Cancer Support World's Biggest Coffee Morning. So in the foyer between 11 and 2, and donations of cakes are particularly welcome. And Sally is looking after that for us. And some of the regular cake makers are away. So if you haven't made cakes before and fancy doing something for that occasion, that would be very helpful. Please speak to Sally. And then on October the 2nd, just a reminder, KURC's Big Day In Out, the day of celebration, whether you can join or join in the building or just want to join remotely. Lots of things will be going on. Should be a great day together. And finally, two requests for prayer. Christian Aid have produced a special prayer and are asking churches to pray for Afghanistan. So please look that out or just remember them, as I'm sure you are. And please continue to pray for those of our number who are unwell, for them and also for those who support them. Thank you.
Now it's time to make our offering. Would you please do that now? We thank you to those who do that online or regularly or who use the envelope system. Please, if you cannot get to church, remember that your money is still required, and great if you can remember to let us have it. So we now say a prayer for our offering. Loving God, we ask that you accept these gifts of money and pray that they will be used for your word and work on earth. Bless the gifts and givers. All our gifts come from you, and we pray for guidance on their use in spreading your word, improving decisions and actions. Forgive us when we fail to wisely use your precious resources, and grant that we may continue to grow in your light, to keep it aflame with love, to honour your holy name. Amen.
Ken will now lead us into communion.
As we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus and proclaim his eternal sacrifice for us, we offer ourselves to God in praise and thanksgiving and celebrate the mystery of faith. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever, and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. We who are many are one bread, one body, for we all share in the one bread. On the night that he was betrayed, our Saviour Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. God of glory, we have seen with eyes and touched with our hands the bread of heaven. Strengthen us in our life together, that we may grow in love for you and for each other, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Spirit of the Lord, so be upon our community, that in and through its life, our Saviour Jesus Christ may preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen.
Just to say that if you would like to stay for the breakout rooms, they will follow immediately after the service. And now our closing hymn, which is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And now the benediction and a blessing. As we move on, bless us, O God. As loving Father and Creator God, as Saviour and as Friend, as Spirit, guiding and empowering our lives today and during this coming week, we pray in your name. Amen. Have a good week, everybody.